Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Sunday School. And if there's any kids that do want to sit a little bit closer to the front, there are still a few chairs over here if you'd like to come sit up front. So let's get started by singing some songs this morning. And we have the hymn sheet here. But I also know that sometimes you kids sing from a different hymn book at home, and I've noticed sometimes kids give out a song at a conference and they get confused when a different song than they thought they were giving out gets started. So I might ask you if you're thinking of a song from the book you use at home, and if so, we could probably sing that from memory. So would any of you like to give out a song to sing to start with this morning? Yes. 11. In the hymn sheet? Okay. Number 11.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold bearings of strife, when the strong cries lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?
Good. What song would you like? 16. Number 16.
Spread the joyful news wherever and
25. Thank you. Number 14. Have you been? Okay, we'll do one more, and then if any of you have learned a memory verse that you'd like to say, we can do that before we talk about a lesson from the Bible. Right here, what song would you like?
Six.
Number six. Thank you. Maybe we'll sing the first and last verse of number six. Okay, I know some of you likely learned a memory verse this week, and no one has to, but if anyone would like to stand up and say your memory verse, I'm sure everyone would love to hear you say it. So do we have any volunteers? I'll come down there. Thank you for volunteering.
First Timothy 6:7. You've brought nothing into this world, so it is certain you can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good job. It's hard to go first, and you did a very good job. Would anyone else like to say the memory verse? Go ahead.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:10.
Very good. Anyone else here? Go ahead.
1 Timothy 6:10. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can bring nothing out of it.
Very good. Do you want to? Go ahead.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. I thought it was 7. Any of you want to go? Go ahead.
We brought nothing into this world, and a certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. Like to? Lots of volunteers.
1 Timothy 6:7. We brought nothing into this world, and we can bring, and it's certain that we can bring nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. Would you like to?
We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. How about anyone over here? You'd like to?
1 Timothy 6:7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can bring nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. Anyone else over here? Oh, one more. Two more.
Timothy 6:7.
We
can bring nothing into this world.
And it is.
And it is one, we can bring nothing out.
Here.
6:7, Timothy.
Very good job.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can bring nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
All right, is there anyone else?
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you. Let's check one more time. Go ahead.
1 Timothy 6:7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you for learning the memory verse this week. Perhaps your mommy or your daddy talked to you a little bit about that verse and explained that when you came into this world and were born, there was nothing that you brought with you. It's just yourself. And one day we're going to leave this world. Either the Lord Jesus is going to come and call those who know Him as Savior away, or perhaps we will die. And either way, there's nothing that we're going to take with us. And that verse helps us understand to not put too much focus on things down here in this world, but to remember that if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, heaven is our home. So thank you for learning the memory verse for this week. Before we look into the Bible and learn some lessons from there. Okay, I'm going to ask some questions this morning, and when we read some verses, I might ask for some volunteers. I know some of you can read, and if anyone's willing, perhaps you could help with reading some verses this morning. I'll start with asking a question. Can anyone think of any of the 12 disciples that wrote part of the Bible? If you can think of a disciple that wrote part of the Bible, you can raise your hand.
John.
Good. That's correct. There's more than one right answer, but that's the name that I was thinking of. John. John was one of the 12 disciples that followed the Lord Jesus when he was down here as a man. And perhaps John was the closest of anyone else here on this earth to the Lord Jesus when he was here as a man. And so John watched the Lord Jesus live. And he saw the wonder of the Lord Jesus' life, and he believed, and he came to know the life that is given to any who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And he wrote a letter to Christians everywhere, wanting them to understand more about that life. And in that letter, he addressed, in part of that letter, he talked to specific groups of people. And he said two things especially addressed to little children. And this morning, I'd like to look at the parts of that letter that John wrote. It's the book of 1 John. And the two things that he addressed especially to little children. So, perhaps one of you wouldn't mind helping read the first one. So we can go to 1 John chapter 2. And would anyone be willing to help by reading for everyone 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12? Is there anyone that would be willing to volunteer to do that? Thank you. You have the spot there?
I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake.
Very good. Thank you. And you'll notice there that he said, I write unto you little children. So he was especially thinking of children when he wrote this part. And he said, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. But now we're going to stop and maybe go backwards a little bit and ask each of you children a question. Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? I'm going to go back and I'm going to read something else that this same man wrote, John. And it's something that he wrote because he was one of very few people. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, this man, John, was right there. And he was right there at the foot of the cross, and he saw when the Lord Jesus died, and he wrote about it. And I'm going to read a couple of verses in John 19. And this is what John wrote. I'm going to read John 19, verse 30. It says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so John was there. You can imagine. I think you children know what a cross is. The Lord Jesus was up on a cross, hanging from nails. And John was right there. And he watched and he saw as Jesus died. And now I'm going to go down and read a little bit later, down in verse 33. Now it's talking about some soldiers. And it says, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So John was right there and he watched. And some soldiers came, and they hated the Lord Jesus. And perhaps out of hatred, perhaps, they took a spear and they put it right into his side. And John watched and blood and water came out. And then this next verse I'm going to read now. And he that saw it, that's John, bare record. So that means he saw it and he wrote it down. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. John, on that day, he watched the Lord Jesus die, and he watched the blood that came out of the Lord Jesus' side, and he believed. And if I could put this verse this way, John said, I saw it, and I believed, and I've come to know the peace and the forgiveness that comes when we believe that Jesus died for me. You believe, and you'll know it too. And so the first thing I'd like to ask each of you children this morning is, do you know that your sins have been forgiven? We've all done things wrong. And we heard yesterday about how God is holy, cannot have sins in heaven. And so God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place on the cross. And all that is required is for you to look to him and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died and shed your blood for me. And then, like we the first verse that we read, you can know, even as a little child, that your sins are forgiven. Well, now I'd like to go and read the next thing that John wrote about in his letter and addressed to little children. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. And maybe there'll be a different volunteer that would be willing to read just part of a verse here. It's 1 John chapter 2, and it's at the end of verse 13. Is there any one of you that would be willing to read just a little bit? Yes, thank you. So in verse 13, if you go near the end, there's a part that says, I write unto you, little children. Could you start reading there? Thank you.
I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father.
Thank you. So, if I could put it this way, John was writing, thinking especially of children, and he said, the first thing I want you to know is that if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And then the very next thing I'd like you to know and start to understand, even as a young child like you are, is God as your Father. And that's what I'd like to spend the rest of our time here this morning talking about. God as our Father. And any one of you children that have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, God is your Father. And perhaps we can look into some verses in the Bible that help us understand a little bit more of what that means. But you know, God has done something else to help us understand Him as Father. God is the one who set up families. And God made it so that there's fathers and mothers and children. And each one of you has a father and you have a mother. And God made it that way to help us start to understand a little bit about God as our Father. So I'm going to ask you kids some questions about your father or your dad. And then we're going to go look at some verses in the Bible that then help us understand more about God as our Father. And so there's some things about fathers. I have a father that I've been thinking about. But maybe I'll just start off by asking anyone here, is there anyone who would like to share something that you appreciate about your dad? Go ahead.
He works really hard to keep us from going hungry.
That's a very good answer. And that's one of the things that I was thinking about too, about dads. They work hard to provide. You know, you're going to go home tomorrow, and probably your mom's going to make a supper. But the food that she made had to be bought, and it had to be bought with money. And a lot of you kids are probably old enough to understand that that money just doesn't come from anywhere. Your dad had to go to work, and he had to do some work and get paid. Now, does that help us understand something about God as our Father? Let's see. Let's read a verse in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read in Matthew 6. And I'll read verse 30 and 31. It says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." So you mentioned that your dad works so you don't go hungry. And here in this verse, it says that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of food. And it's true that your dad helps provide food. But as you grow and start to understand more of God as your Father, we understand that He's the one who provides for everything we need. And your heavenly Father knows exactly what each one of you little children need, and He will provide it for you. Okay, would anyone else like to share something that they appreciate about their dad? Sure.
He loves us very, very much.
I was really hoping someone would say that. So thank you for giving that answer. I hope each one of you children know that your daddy, your father, loves you. And that can help you understand a little bit that God, your Father, loves you. Perhaps someone would like to help read a verse that tells us that. Let's go to John chapter 16. John 16, and would anyone like to volunteer to read the first part of verse 27? Thank you.
Then said some of his...
I'm sorry, verse 27, I think. Yeah, there you go.
"For the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and hath believed that I came out from God."
Thank you. So the first part of that verse says, "For the Father himself loveth you." And that's perhaps the most important thing for each one of you to enter into in knowing God is your Father, to know that He loves you. How do you know that God your Father loves you? Would anyone like to answer that? How do you know?
Because He died on the cross.
It's a good answer. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. And did you know something that I'd like to tell you kids? In a lot of things in life, adults, you might say, they can do better than young children. They're older, they're stronger, they're wiser. But there's one thing that perhaps it would be correct to say that you young children have a little bit of an advantage over us who are older. And it's in the simplicity of the faith of understanding what this young boy just said. I know that God the Father loves me because He gave His Son to die for me. And it is simple. And it is simple for even a young child to understand. But something I want to tell you this morning is that you have an enemy. His name is Satan. And as you grow up, he's going to try with every single one of you. And he's going to be sneaky about it. He's going to try as you grow up and have different experiences. He's going to try little by little to sneak a thought into your mind. Does God really love you? Does He really? And you probably won't realize it's happening, at least at the start. And each one of you young children, one of the most important lessons you can ever learn and remember all your life is the answer that was given here. Is when you recognize that Satan's trying to get you to doubt that God loves you, the answer is He gave His Son to die for you. And that answers the question. He loves you. And nothing, when you look and remember that Jesus died for you, that will help you never, ever doubt that God loves you. And as you grow up and get older, sometimes Satan uses things that happen to us or maybe something we wish we have that we don't get to sneak in and make us doubt. And I don't know this, but there's a good chance that right now in this room there's some bigger people that perhaps are struggling with that question. Maybe they don't even realize it. And the answer to that question is always found. God gave His Son to die for you. And rest in that and know that God your Father loves you. Okay, we've heard from that our fathers provide for us and that they love us. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share that they appreciate about their father? Go ahead.
He plays with me.
Thank you. I was hoping someone would say something like that as well. He plays with you. He spends time with you. And when He spends time with you, you know He loves you, don't you? That's right. You know, sometimes some of my kids come up to me and they come up to me and I say, "What would you like?" And they just say, "I just want some snuggles." They just want to be with their dad. And maybe some of you young kids are like that. You just sometimes you want your daddy to hold you. And maybe some of you that are a little bit older, you've grown past that stage of life, but you like it when your dad plays with you or does something with you. You like to spend time with him and you know that he loves you. Let's go look at a verse that expresses a little bit of that thought about God, our Heavenly Father, in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Would anyone like to read that verse? Sure, thank you.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father."
Thank you. Well, this verse tells us that we can have the God has given us the desire in our hearts to know God as our Father. And this expression here that we don't use, "Abba, Father," in a simple way of explaining it, it's almost a little bit like the expression we have in English, "daddy." It's that expression of closeness. When a little child just goes up and says, "Daddy, I just want you to hold me." He just wants to be close to his father. Leave God has made it that way to help us understand a little bit of his desire that he's put in our hearts to want to learn to go to our Heavenly Father and just be close to him. And some of you children, I know you've learned how to read. And you can read. And you can read your Bibles. And I just mention and encourage you to think about those times that you spend with your dad and how special they are. You have a heavenly Father, and you can go and read your Bible, and maybe there's going to be parts you don't understand. There will be. There's parts I don't understand. But if you just go and say, Father, I'd just like to spend some time with you and learn a little bit more, that is something that you're asking that's according to His will, and He will hear you, and He will answer. So I just encourage any of you children that you know how to read, try and make some time to spend with your Heavenly Father reading from the Word of God. Okay, what are some other things that we can think about our dads that maybe we could then turn and find a verse to help us understand about our Heavenly Father? You know, yesterday when we were swimming, there was two times where I saw a young child, maybe two or three, and they were playing not in the deep water, but in the shallower water, but they tripped, they stumbled, and their head went under, and they swallowed some water, and they were struggling. And both times their dad reached down and pulled them out, and they were safe. And you kids, if you were out there swimming and something happened, you swallowed some water, hit your head, and your dad saw, what would he do? What would your dad do if he saw you in trouble in the water? Any of you want to say?
He'd pull you out.
Thank you. Yes, your Father loves you, and if He saw you in trouble, He would come, and He would help you. Because your Father, He has a desire in His heart to protect you and keep you safe. And you know, we can think about that, and then we can learn a little bit about our Heavenly Father, because He loves you, and He wants to keep each one of you safe. We're running out of time, so maybe I'll read this next verse in John 10. John 10 and verse 29, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and He says, My Father which gave them Me, so He's talking about those who have trusted in Him, My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. And any of you children that have trusted in the Lord Jesus, you are in the Father's hand, and you are safe there forever. And perhaps primarily this verse is speaking about how you're safe eternally, you're destined for heaven, and nothing can ever change that. But we could also imply it that in day-to-day life down here, your Heavenly Father is watching over each one of you, and His desire is to keep you safe from many of the dangers and difficulties you're going to face as you grow up. Okay, let me ask you another question. Are any of you children ever scared? Are there some things that scare you? Yeah? You know, one of my little girls that's here, sometimes she has bad dreams in the night. And she wakes up and she's scared. And if I go into the room and she's scared, there's pretty much only one thing that's going to help. She just needs a hug from Dad. And in a little bit, everything's okay again. Do any of you kids have bad dreams sometimes? Yeah? If you have a bad dream, does it help if your dad comes in and gives you a hug? Or maybe it's not a bad dream. Something else happens that scares you and you're afraid. And if you can be in your Father's arms, you feel safe. Well, I'd like to go look at a verse. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Because we can learn a little bit about our Heavenly Father, from how our fathers can help us when we're afraid. And just to explain this verse a little bit before I read it, there's a man named Paul, and he was writing to some Christians. And the Christians that he was writing to, some people had told those Christians some things that were not true. And the things that they'd heard had the effect of making them afraid, and they were scared. And so Paul wrote to them, and he spent some time telling them what was true, and that helped. But he also said, directed them Like we'll read here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. It says here, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And just like if you're afraid, it helps if your dad or your mom holds you in their arms and you feel safe again and you're consoled. That's really consolation. Here, there are some people and they've been told some things that would make them afraid. And yes, God, through Paul, told them the truth and that helped. But it's been helpful for me to just notice that he also just directed them to their Heavenly Father and to their Savior and said, "Go to him and he will comfort you." And so you kids can learn something about your Heavenly Father in knowing how your father or your mother comforts you. You can learn that as you grow older, you know, there's going to be times in your life where maybe your dad or your mom isn't there. And you can go to your Heavenly Father for comfort and consolation. And even right now, you can do that at your young age. Well, I had a few more, but we've reached the end, so maybe we'll let one of you kids pick one more song. And my hope is that the little bit of time we could spend this morning, you could, first of all, think of that question. Do you know your sins are forgiven? Have you looked to the Lord Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood and believed? And then if you've done that, to start, even at a young age, to understand and know God as your Father. Would anyone like to give it a song? Go ahead, Leah. Number 41. Around the throne of God.